So imagine you are writing this like highly technical classified battle plan,
Okay.
but you aren't writing it for a human engineer or a network administrator or anything. You are writing it specifically to be handed to an artificial intelligence.
Which is wild to think about.
Right. That is exactly the scenario we are looking at today for this deep dive. We've got our hands on this fascinating document. It's titled The Self-Hosted Proxy Run Book.
Yeah, from the Agent Runbook series.
Exactly, from March 14th, 2026. And it was engineered specifically for an AI agent, Claude Code in this case, to just execute completely autonomously.
And, the premise alone really shifts how you have to think about infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we are looking at a literal blueprint for an AI to build a virtually undetectable proxy server. The explicit goal of this whole architecture is to bypass advanced internet censorship.
Specifically targeting the Great Firewall of China, right?
Right. And because the system is designed to be deployed by an AI, the instructions, they sort of strip away all the usual human intuition. They just lay bare the raw mechanics of this highly sophisticated digital cat and mouse game.
Which is exactly what we want to focus on today.
Yeah.
And just to be clear up front, while bypassing national firewalls is, an inherently politically charged topic, our mission today is strictly to dissect the incredible technical engineering in this document.
Right, strictly the mechanics.
Yeah, we aren't taking any sides or making political commentary here. We are just here to analyze the mechanics of the arms race. Because honestly, even if you never have to stand up a proxy server yourself, this run book provides an absolute masterclass in modern network security.
It really does.
It's all about traffic disguise and, well, the hidden physics of the global internet routing that you rely on every single day. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Well, before we get to the cutting-edge invisibility cloaks, we actually have to examine the graveyard of older protocols.
The stuff that didn't work.
Exactly. The runbook documents this massive initial failure, and it really sets the stage for everything else. The author originally instructed the AI to deploy a proxy using ShadowSocks Rust.
Operating on port 8388, I think the log said.
Right, and secured with an AES-256 GCM cipher.
Now, if you're listening to this and you know basic security, your first instinct is probably, well, AES-256 is military-grade encryption.
Yeah, mathematically, it's virtually unbreakable.
Right. You'd think a proxy running that cipher would be a fortress. But according to the log in the runbook, that IP was blocked by the sensors within hours.
Within hours, connections just timed out.
The server was completely unreachable. So I'm guessing this implies the firewall isn't even trying to break the encryption anymore, like they are looking at something else entirely.
Yeah, they abandoned trying to crack the cryptography a long time ago. Modern censorship firewalls, they rely heavily on active probing and entropy analysis.
Okay, entropy analysis.
What's fascinating here is how the sensors don't need to know what the data says. When you use what we call a bare protocol, like ShadowSocks or plain SOCKS 5 or an unobfuscated VMS connection,
Right.
your traffic is perfectly encrypted. But that perfection is exactly what gets you caught.
Wait, perfection gets you caught.
Yeah. High entropy data looks like a stream of pure, indistinguishable random noise. Normal internet traffic simply doesn't look like that.
Because normal traffic has headers and stuff.
Exactly. Normal traffic has predictable headers, plain text routing information, structured patterns.
So the perfection of the encryption is the actual giveaway.
Yes.
I think of it like a bouncer at a highly exclusive club.
Yeah.
The bouncer might not be able to read a patron's heavily encrypted, totally unreadable VIP card.
Right.
But he doesn't actually need to read the card if the person is walking up to the door wearing a ghillie suit made of static electricity.
That's a great way to put it.
Just moving in the totally randomized, unnatural zigzag pattern. The bouncer just looks at the behavior, realizes this person is highly anomalous and suspicious, and tosses them out anyway.
That's exactly it. They fingerprint the shape of the data. The mathematical randomness of your AES cipher creates this massive glowing beacon that just says, I am hiding something.
Wow.
Once the firewall's algorithms detect that sustained high entropy stream, they simply drop the connection. They black hole the port, or, they might just null route your entire IP address to be safe.
Which means in this arms race, looking suspicious is functionally identical to being caught.
Precisely.
You can't wear the static ghillie suit. You have to look incredibly, boringly normal. And I guess that leads directly to the core solution the AI is instructed to deploy, the multi-protocol disguise.
Yes, the multi-protocol deployment.
The runbook relies on a piece of software called Singbox, installed via this highly specific script by a developer known as Yungek. And this script doesn't just set up one protocol. it spins up 5 different configurations simultaneously. So let's break down the heavy hitters here, because the document leans really heavily into one called VLS Reality.
Yeah, VLS Reality represents the current gold standard for defeating entropy analysis. Instead of just encrypting the data and hoping for the best, it actively mimics the behavior of normal internet traffic.
Like it puts on a disguise.
Exactly. Mechanically, it borrows the transport layer security, or TLS, fingerprint of a completely unblocked, legitimate website. It mirrors the exact server name indication and the handshake packets of that innocent site.
So when the firewall inspects the connection, it doesn't see a random high-entropy stream of proxy data.
No, it doesn't.
It sees a completely standard HTTPS handshake,
right,
identical to someone just browsing a mundane foreign web page.
Right.
It's basically an invisibility cloak woven out of normal internet traffic.
That's exactly what it is. But, you know, VLSS is just the disguise. The script also stands up protocols called Hysteria 2 and TUIC V5.
Oh, right, the high-speed ones.
Yeah, and these operate on a completely different philosophy. The runbook uses a hybrid approach because different network conditions require different tools.
Makes sense.
VLES Reality is heavily optimized for block resistance, but Hysteria 2 and TUIC V5, they are optimized for sheer aggression and speed.
Okay, how so?
Well, standard web traffic, and therefore VLESS, runs on PCP. TCP is reliable, but it requires a rigid, sequential, back-and-forth handshake to acknowledge every packet.
Right, the whole SYNACK thing.
Exactly. But Hysteria 2 and TUIC utilize QUIC, which operates over UDP. UDP doesn't wait for acknowledgments. It just blasts the data through the pipe.
It does it all.
Yeah, which drastically reduces latency and completely ignores the packet loss throttling that really plagues standard TCP connections across the Pacific.
So having that UDP horsepower is crucial. Oh, wait. While we were installing all these advanced protocols, I noticed something weird in the runbook. It's incredibly explicit about manually ripping one out.
Yes.
It tells the AI to edit the config and remove a protocol called Veeam WebSocket from the auto select group. If the script installs it, why go out of your way to tell the AI to amputate it?
It's a security risk, frankly.
My assumption was that it's like a legacy protocol that leaks recognizable metadata.
Basically, yeah. The telemetry on Veeam's WebSocket shows its traffic fingerprint is too easily isolated on direct connections. It might survive if you were routing it through a massive content delivery network that sanitizes the connection.
Like Cloudflare or something.
Right. But when you are connecting directly to your own server, the firewall's active probes can spot the WebSocket handshake patterns.
Oh, wow.
And the runbook recognizes that the AI client software will constantly test ping times and auto-select the fastest protocol.
So it might switch to it by accident.
Exactly. If the client automatically falls back to that weaker Veeam's WebSocket protocol, even for a minute, your server's IP is burned. You have to remove the weakest link entirely.
Now, if I'm a developer reviewing this runbook, my immediate instinct after deploying these 5 protocols is to test the open ports, like just to make sure the server's actually listening.
Of course.
But the document includes this massive warning for the AI about testing Hysteria 2 and QAC. It basically says standard network testing will completely fail. So what does this all mean for testing?
Well, think about the tools engineers normally use. The standard diagnostic tools, things like Telnet or running an NC-ZV command, they default to initiating TCP handshakes.
Right.
And we just established that Hysteria 2 and TUIC operate on UDP.
Oh, the languages don't match.
Exactly. If you instruct an AI or, you know, a junior engineer to probe a UDP port with a TCP tool, the server is just going to drop the packets. The tool will report a connection refused or a timeout error.
Even though it's working fine.
Right. The service is running flawlessly, but the diagnostic tool is speaking the wrong language. It's a trap that could send an automated system into an endless loop of trying to fix a server that isn't broken.
I mean, it's those exact blind spots that make this document so compelling. But, you know, having the ultimate disguise software and the fastest UDP protocols is entirely useless if the physical hardware hosting it is sluggish or worse, already sitting on a sensor's blacklist.
Yeah, hardware matters just as much as software.
Right. That brings us to the physical infrastructure choices this runbook dictates. The engine room.
You really can't just spin up the cheapest cloud instance you find. The physical routing layer dictates everything here. The runbook is incredibly prescriptive about virtual private server requirements.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The AI is instructed to procure a server with a static residential IP. The author explicitly lists a provider called Atlas Networks, utilizing IPs situated in Los Angeles or Seattle.
Yes.
Now, my first thought reading that is, why not just spin up a massive compute instance on AWS or Google Cloud? The bandwidth is virtually infinite, right?
You'd think so, yeah.
But I'm guessing a national firewall sensor can simply blanket ban an entire ASN block of Amazon data center IPs without breaking a sweat.
You hit the nail on the head. Data center IP blocks are public knowledge. If the sensors see highly sustained encrypted traffic originating from a known cloud provider rather than a normal web host, they don't even bother analyzing it.
They just kill it.
They just drop the entire subnet. It costs them nothing.
Wow.
But a residential IP mimics a standard home internet connection. Blocking a residential ISP's IP block causes immense collateral damage.
Because real people are using them.
Exactly. You start accidentally severing connections to actual citizens, small businesses, legitimate communications. Utilizing a residential IP forces the sensor's algorithms to be incredibly conservative.
It provides political cover.
Yes.
Okay, so the IP address hides you in a suburban neighborhood instead of a corporate warehouse. But the runbook also demands highly specific network routing paths.
The toll roads.
Right. It mandates premium routes known as AS99-DELENA9 or CN2-GIA. It explicitly warns the AI against accepting standard, cheaper routing like AS4837.
Yeah, because the physics of sending data across the Pacific Ocean are brutal.
I can imagine.
During peak hours, standard routing paths like AS4837 suffer from massive congestion. Packets queue up, latency spikes, and connections just drop. Your perfectly disguised VFES connection will grind to an absolute halt if it gets stuck in that traffic.
Oh, man.
AS9929 and CN2GIA are essentially VIP toll roads built into the Trans-Pacific Internet backbone. They cost a premium, sure, but they guarantee low latency and high stability by bypassing the crowded public peering points.
And to squeeze every single drop of performance out of that VIP toll road, the runbook instructs the AI to enable an algorithm called BDR.
Yes, BBR.
Now, I know BBR stands for bottleneck bandwidth and round-trip propagation time, and it was developed by Google.
Hmm.
But how does flipping that switch actually accelerate the proxy?
It completely changes how the server reacts to a dropped packet.
Okay.
Older legacy TCP congestion control algorithms, like CUBIC, for example, are deeply reactionary. If they detect even a single dropped packet, they assume the network is congested, and they immediately have the transmission speed.
They just panic.
They panic. And over a long-distance oceanic cable, random packet loss happens all the time just due to distance, not necessarily congestion.
Right, it's just physics.
Exactly. BBR doesn't panic. Instead of reacting to loss, it continuously measures the actual delivery rate and the round-trip time. It calculates exactly how much data the pipe can hold and paces the packets perfectly to keep the pipe completely full without overflowing it.
That's brilliant.
It maintains maximum throughput even when the network is slightly unstable.
I love how this all stacks together.
Yeah.
It's exactly like planning a high-stakes bank heist getaway.
Okay, I like this.
The VLSS reality software is your flawless disguise.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fake mustache and the tailored suit.
Yep.
Blending into the residential IP is like pulling the getaway car out of a normal suburban driveway so nobody notices.
Right.
The AS9929 VIP routing is your secret, uncrowded highway out of the city. And that BBR algorithm is the high-performance engine that ensures your driver doesn't slam on the brakes every time they hit a pothole.
That is a perfect analogy.
You absolutely need every single layer working together to pull this off.
The synchronization is vital. You need the cryptographic stealth, the physical location cover, the premium routing, and the algorithmic horsepower.
But this introduces a massive logistical paradox.
Oh, right. The distribution problem.
Yeah. Your server is running. It's perfectly disguised. It's fast. And it's sitting on a residential IP.
Mm-hmm.
But how does a user who is currently sitting behind a restrictive firewall actually get the configuration details to connect to it?
Exactly.
Because if they try to download the config file and that initial download connection is flagged and blocked, the entire multi-layered proxy system is completely useless.
It's the paradox of the hidden proxy.
Hmm.
You have to communicate the location of the hidden system without the surveillance state watching you hand over the map.
Right.
The runbook navigates this by instructing the AI to construct a dedicated, highly secured subscription server.
The runbook lays out the installation of Nginx web server just for this purpose, right?
Yep.
It generates a randomized cryptographic token to act as a password embedded directly in the URL. It even deploys VNSTAT to track the byte-level traffic usage so the user app can display the remaining data quota.
That's incredibly thorough.
But the true elegance here The mechanism that solves the paradox is what the author refers to as the Cloudflare proxy.
Ah, yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the deployment relies heavily on Cloudflare, the global content delivery network.
Right.
Cloudflare's network is so vast and hosts so much of the global economy that blocking it entirely is economically devastating for most nations.
They just can't afford to block it.
Exactly. The runbook exploits this, but it requires an incredibly delicate configuration. Initially, the AI is instructed to set the Cloudflare DNS record to gray cloud mode.
Meaning DNS only.
Yes. This means Cloudflare is acting strictly as a standard DNS directory, pointing directly to the server's IP. This is done purely so an automated tool called acme.esh can utilize Cloudflare's API to fetch a valid SSL certificate.
Without exposing the server's actual IP to the public certificate transparency logs in a vulnerable way.
Precisely.
Getting that cryptographic certificate silently is step one. But step two is the pivot. Once the subscription server is secured and running, the runbook demands the AI switch the Cloudflare setting to orange cloud mode.
Right, turning on the proxy.
Which routes all incoming requests through Cloudflare's massive caching network. But let me stop and ask a critical question here.
Sure.
If Cloudflare's orange cloud network is so incredibly resilient and safe from being blocked, why are we only using it for the subscription server? Like, why not just route the actual VLESS and Hysteria proxy traffic through that orange cloud and hide the entire operation inside Cloudflare?
That is a classic architectural trap.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The moment you route your highly optimized proxy traffic through Cloudflare's network, you instantly destroy the performance metrics we just spent the last 10 minutes building.
Because of the extra hops.
Exactly. Cloudflare adds significant latency because the traffic has to hit their proxy nodes, get processed, and then get forwarded. And more importantly, it completely bypasses that premium AS9929 direct routing highway we purchased.
Oh, of course.
The runbook is leveraging Cloudflare strictly as an unblockable relay. It's just a secure dead drop.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. So the user behind the firewall clicks the tokenized link. That request travels safely through Cloudflare's massive unblocked network to grab the text file containing the configuration.
Aye. And inside that heavily encrypted configuration file is the true direct IP address of your high-performance residential VCS.
Gotcha.
Once the user's software imports that file, it drops the Cloudflare connection entirely. The actual proxy traffic initiates a direct TLS disguise connection straight to your server, utilizing the BBR pacing and the VIP routing. Cloudflare is just the courier.
It is a stunningly elegant architecture, really impressive. But this brings us to the most ironic and frankly entertaining portion of this entire document.
Oh, the troubleshooting section.
Yes. We started by emphasizing that this runbook was engineered for an AI agent, Claude Code.
Right.
The utopian vision is that the AI analyzes the document, executes the terminal commands, and builds this flawless architecture in seconds.
In theory.
But the final section of the document is a troubleshooting log, and it just violently shatters the illusion of seamless automation.
It really does. The troubleshooting section grounds the entire theoretical discussion in the harsh reality of software engineering.
Yeah.
We can design these magnificent cryptographic invisibility cloaks, but the systems usually collapse because of mundane, frustrating conflicts between the automated scripts trying to build them.
It's wildly relatable. Like, take the one-click installer script, SBS, yes. The log notes that when it runs, it secretly triggers the certificate tool, acme.esh, in the background.
Yeah.
But when it does this, it caches a completely incorrect placeholder email address deep in the system files.
And the cascading failure of that tiny error is immense. 60 days later, when the system attempts to autonomously renew the secure certificate to keep the server hidden.
Right.
The Let's Encrypt Authority rejects it because the system is submitting a bogus email address.
It's so silly.
The runbook explicitly has to warn the AI to navigate to a specific hidden directory and manually purge that cache file, or the entire proxy will silently die 2 months after deployment.
Or how about the server security?
Yeah.
The runbook warns that the Singbox installer script has a habit of silently uninstalling UFF.
The entire Linux firewall system.
Yeah. It just nukes the firewall without throwing a single warning prompt.
It's terrifying. And then you have the pathing mismatches.
Oh, right. The folders.
Yeah, the acme.esh auto-renewal daemon works perfectly. It successfully negotiates and downloads the new cryptographic keys 30 days before expiration, but it saves those keys in its own isolated directory.
Naturally.
And the proxy software, Singbox, is hard-coded to look for the keys in a completely different folder. They don't talk to each other.
Of course they don't.
So the runbook has to instruct the AI to write a custom cron-triggered bash script just to copy the files from folder A to folder B so the proxy doesn't crash.
It's duct tape.
Wow.
My absolute favorite, though, is the client-side UI quirk.
Oh, yes.
Imagine you've done all of this. You are a user sitting on a Mac behind a national firewall. You install the recommended client app, Clash Verge Rev.
Okay.
You successfully paste in the Cloudflare secured subscription URL. The profile downloads and imports perfectly. And then you just sit there.
Nothing happens.
The screen displays direct and reject,
yeah.
And nothing rips.
Because the mechanical failure there isn't cryptographic, it's interface design.
Right.
The user has to physically click the profile card in the application to activate it. Importing it does not select it.
Which is so frustrating.
If you don't know the exact idiosyncratic behavior of that specific graphical interface, you will stare at a dead connection, entirely convinced your multi-layered AI-deployed server architecture has been compromised by the sensors.
It highlights a profound truth about engineering. Even in a runbook designed explicitly for an artificial intelligence, the human element, the tedious human troubleshooting of understanding why a cached email broke a handshake, or recognizing that a system firewall silently vanished, or just knowing you have to left-click a specific gray box on a screen.
Yes.
It remains the ultimate failsafe. The AI can type the terminal commands 1,000 times faster than we can, but the human experience of things breaking in unpredictable ways is what necessitates the runbook's existence in the first place.
Exactly. The automation can execute the blueprint flawlessly, but it requires human ingenuity to map out where all the landmines are buried.
So to synthesize this massive architectural journey, we started with a mathematically perfect, highly encrypted bare protocol that gets completely black-holed by entropy analysis within hours.
Yep.
We watched the solution evolve into a multi-protocol beast that dynamically mimics standard HTTPS web traffic. We planted that disguise on a residential IP to force collateral damage.
We routed it across premium VIP internet backbones to bypass congestion.
Right. Applied BBR pacing to ignore packet loss, and securely drop the keys via a globally distributed CDN.
It forces you to reevaluate the infrastructure you interact with every day. The internet is absolutely not just simple plumbing.
Far from it.
Beneath the surface of every web page you load, there are deeply invisible layers of complex routing, aggressive cryptographic posturing, and endless, highly sophisticated security games happening in milliseconds.
It's staggering to think about. And it leaves me with one highly provocative thought to ponder.
Oh.
We spent a lot of time discussing how VLS reality survives by mimicking the precise TLS fingerprint of a real website, right?
Yeah.
Defeating the firewall's entropy analysis.
Right.
It survives because it successfully makes the mathematical shape of the data look perfectly normal.
Yes, the shape.
But what happens when the sensors stop looking at just the shape of the data? Mm-hmm. What happens when they train their own AI to analyze the microscopic millisecond timing of the packets bouncing between the server and the client?
Timing analysis, that is the absolute frontier of network surveillance.
Right. I mean, if a sensor can look at the micro delays between packets and mathematically prove that a user isn't actually reading a web page, but is instead streaming a video through a hidden tunnel, the disguise drops.
The jig is up.
In this endless arms race, how long can a perfect cryptographic disguise really last before the fundamental physics of how we measure the internet changes entirely?
Okay.
It is definitely something to think about the next time you casually type a URL into your browser.
Absolutely.
Thank you for spending time with us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the invisible systems running beneath your screens, and we'll catch you on the next one.